According to the Common Division of Research Objects, the objects of philosophical reflection can be divided into two categories, natural and social. Of course, the object of philosophical reflection also includes the thinker oneself, and the thinker oneself can be divided into two aspects, the natural or physical, and the social or thoughtful, which fall into the above two categories. These principles seem simple, but it is not easy to explain them strictly and logically until algorithmic theory is used. Earlier, we explained the world as a whole, but the holistic perspective is flawed. What people call whole is actually just a face, a part of the world of objects. When we look at an object as a whole, we have to ignore some details, ignoring the discreteness and relative independence of its parts. The numerous contents of the object world are often only felt and comprehended when the lens is zoomed in and the specific parts or individuals are protruded. This distinction is sometimes referred to as the macro-micro distinction. This distinction is not merely akin to the two sides of one coin, as the conventional wisdom suggests, since the conventional perception implies that they are a unified whole. This perception ignores the plurality of the contents. The whole itself contains elements of subjective imagination, which is a simplification made by people due to their limited observational and computing power. Whole does not exactly encapsulate the parts, and the unique contents in the parts cannot be obtained until observers go close to them. In fact, we have elaborated on each part of the world according to the traditional classification of philosophy. Of course, in the previous discussions, although the emphasis changes from time to time, our universe of discourse is not intentionally confined. We do not assume that people only think about natural objects and not about social objects when they think, nor do we specify which particular types of objects the ontology applies only to. Thus, the preceding statements are in principle applicable to society, although they are not sufficient for the goals of social philosophy. The basic principles of algorithmic philosophy, which we have repeatedly emphasized, are important throughout the book, as are the specific routes, materials, and methods for deduction in specific fields. The latter is important because readers often do not see the many connections between a particular topic and the algorithmic principles in advance until these connections are logically articulated. In the social realm, the power of algorithmic principles is enormous. The algorithmic principles were initially proposed in response to the needs of social research. Many problems in the social field have not been solved for a long time. Some of these questions were repeatedly discussed by early scholars in search of answers. Because they have been permanently in suspense, currently, they have become invisible, disappeared from professional literature, and seem to have ceased to exist. The current social sciences are rather dull. One exception is the impact of information technology and artificial intelligence, which has sparked a few passions. And I narcissistically believe that such dullness and such passions are the precursors of the emergence of algorithmic theory. ATT was mainly born for a unified social science. It is itself a result of the information technology revolution and an application of the principles of information technology in philosophy and social sciences. Simplicity of its form, fluency of its logic, comprehensiveness of its coverage, and powerfulness of its arguments are enough to set off another revolution in the fields of philosophy, humanities, and social sciences. Just as the natural sciences eventually emerge and separate from philosophy, a unified or general social science needs first to return to philosophy to generate itself, and it is only after solving a series of related philosophical problems that it can finally become independent, relatively.